chapter 2. This is not going to be a long message today. Everybody said, thank you, Pastor Mark. No. I knew Matt, my brother, and Loy over here. I heard the two amens from the front rows. But that's okay. But because the way I structured this message, if you remember, we're going through the seven words of Christmas. And this is based off the book. And I've told you all to go get this book. You can get it on Amazon. It's by Pastor Robert Morris, a pastor's Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, a pastor that I listen to a lot, Seven Words of Christmas, The Joyful Prophecies That Change the World. So there's actually seven prophetic words that were spoken around the birth of Christ. And so we've been looking at each one of these, and we broke them down into, we did three. One Sunday, the three ladies went first, and then we did the three men last week. Even though we didn't have church, I did it from home in front of my fireplace at my kitchen table. And we put that out on social media because we had to cancel church due to the snow last Sunday. But the Christmas story is found in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2. And the way that Pastor Robert wrote this book was as a Christmas devotional. It's actually like 21 devotionals leading up to Christmas. And it's a really good little book, and so we're going to look at that today. But the one word that we're going to focus on today out of the Christmas story is the word joy. So look at somebody and say joy. We need joy. We do. Everybody needs joy. And there was something that happened in my family this week or this past week that brought a lot of joy. Is I got to see my granddaughter. It's amazing what they do now, you know, that 4D imaging or whatever. It's amazing. So I put her, there she is. Look at her little button nose and those lips, and look at that fat cheek. That is one fat cheek. So we got to see her. That is Ava Lynn in the womb. And she is, the due date is actually, they're saying, I think it's January the 25th, Taya's hoping for 1/21/21. That's what she's hoping for. So we're looking forward to meeting Miss Ava. So here's the seven words of Christmas that we've been looking at. We had the ladies go first. Remember, we talked about favor, blessed, and redemption. Then we had the guys last week, which was guidance through Joseph. And then we talked about peace through Simeon, and then salvation through Zacharias. And today we're going to look at the shepherds, and we're going to focus on this one word called joy. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to definitely put it up here on the big screen too, but we're in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 8 this morning. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." And I want you to realize in the Christmas story that the Lord, the angels, appeared to just common, ordinary people. The shepherds actually were in that culture, in the culture of the East, over there. They were actually the low people. They're the blue-collar guys. They're the low guys on the totem pole. But I want you to know the angel came to them first. It didn't go to the scholars or the scribes. Didn't go to the religious people of the day. He went to shepherds. It says in verse 9, it says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" That word tidings is something that we don't normally use, but it just means news. "Good news of great joy, which will be to all people." There's that word, great joy. And it's going to be for all people. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled. Everybody say marveled. Well, that just jumped off the page at me when I was studying this, because I feel like that I'm talking about the big church, the big C, we have lost our marvel, not lost our marbles, but lost our marvel of who the Lord is. I mean, some of us have lost our marbles, but we've lost our marvel of who the Lord is and what he is in our lives. And we need to have the joy of our salvation restored. Can you remember when you first started walking with God? And just, man, it was so awesome. And then as you walk, you know, years go by, and it's just, you know, it's kind of like marriage. Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. But we need to get back, and I need to look at Jada and marvel that she is my wife. Amen. You need to be able to look at Jesus and marvel that he's your Savior. Janice, stop. Janice is going to start making me laugh already up here. Don't even want to know what's going through Janice's mind right now. Leroy says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I know that was a word that jumped. Dusty texts me every Sunday morning. He texted me this morning and said, I must get my pondering from Mary. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And so that's the story of the Christmas story through the shepherds, the eyes of the shepherds. And it says that they went about and they told everybody around in the community about what they had seen and what they had heard. And something that came up, something that we do every month with, we're associated, for those of you that don't know, our church is associated with Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches out of Amarillo, Texas. And it's just a group of like-minded churches, non-denominational churches. And we have a meeting once a month in Oklahoma City where us pastors get together. We actually have one pastor that drives in from Missouri, and the rest of us are from Oklahoma. And we get together, and we pray together and pray over one another. And then we have a teaching piece that we go through. And then we always got to, you know, as pastors get together, you always got to go eat lunch together. So we go out and eat lunch. But we got together this last Thursday, and we were praying for each other. And one of the things that came up is in our discussion that I thought was really good, and it goes with this about the shepherds, was instead of, you see, they didn't, I'm going to try to get this out the way that I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me this, was the shepherds went out and told everybody about the Lord, all right? They didn't invite everybody to the manger. And I'm going to use this as an example. In the church, we've got to get better at infiltrating the community and not just inviting people to church. Now, we need to invite people to church, don't get me wrong, but we need to start infiltrating. We need to get Christian people in government, business, and education. Amen? And then that's how we infiltrate. We've got it wrong in the big church. I'm talking about the big C, the big church. We've got it flipped around. We're all the time trying to, oh, you guys go out and invite people to church. No. What we need to do is need to release you guys to go infiltrate the communities that you live in and your circles of influence and get Christ. That's what the shepherds did. They didn't go out and get everybody and tell everybody to come back to the manger. Is that making sense? And that's what we've got to start doing as the big C and as our church as well. Getting involved, you know, the heart of a community, wherever, how, you know, even Leedy, the heart of the community. I've told this to the, you know, pastors all the time that are in Leedy, that, you know, our community revolves around the school, right? And most small communities are like that. All communities are like that. So, but we got to get people involved in the government, in business, and in education, and start infiltrating things. That's how the enemy took prayer out of schools, was he infiltrated the school system. And we've got to start flipping the script, so to speak, and get people involved and get infiltrating instead of just constantly just sitting in church saying, oh, let's just invite everybody to church. Another pastor said something, then I wrote it down. We were talking about all this, and he said, you know, the church in America, when we're talking about what COVID has done to the church in America, in our nation, and it's come in here and it's disrupted systems, okay? And then we started talking about, what if something else comes, guys, and it disrupts the structure of church? Yeah. And so if that happens, can we still be the church? Yes, we can. But what the deal is we're having to renew. God is trying to bring a new wineskin into the church. And we're trying to still do church the old way of doing church. And so here's something one of the pastors said, and I wrote it down in my notes that day when we were together. And he said, the church in America, it's been like almost going to the movies. You know, go to the movies, can we put on a good program, you know, great worship, you know, have the smoke machines on the stage. We don't have that, thank God. But, you know, do all those kind of things, have this big show, this big production. And he said what the church needs to get back to being, what it was in the New Testament, was basically like going to the gym. And where, yeah, there's the fivefold ministry, but they're handing out the tools for people to do the work of the ministry. And so we got to get back to the gym instead of the entertainment side of things. Amen? Another thing that happened during our time together, and so I'm just going to go ahead and release this. This has nothing to do with the message today. Well, I guess it does, because we got to have joy if we're going to do this together. We had a prophetic word spoken over our church, over this ministry, that when we started off the January, that we needed to start off January with a fast, a Daniel fast. And so we're going to do that together. Is everybody in on that? Some of you are, some of you aren't. No, I'm just kidding. But I'll talk more about that, but through that, and I don't know if I've ever called a corporate fast, but what this prophetic word that was spoken over us, that we're going to do this 21-day Daniel fast at the start of the year, and that God was going to release healing in this church through the people in our church. And we need it. We need healing today. And so the gifts of the Spirit are still relevant today. And everybody said, all right. We're going to talk about joy this morning with that. And even with fasting, I know everybody's like, oh, my God, 21 days. Well, with a fast, in anything that we do in the Christian, in our Christian walk, you know, there's disciplines, there's prayer, there's giving, there's fasting, but with everything that we do in our disciplines as Christians, we need to have joy as we do it. And one of the disciplines of being a Christian is the discipline of celebration. And we need to be really, we need to get good at celebrating things. Amen? Amen. I mean, we need to be a great advertisement for Jesus and having the joy of the Lord. Okay, and we need to learn how to celebrate things. So two of the things that we celebrate, and I saw some families come up here in the church, we celebrate water baptism. That's one of the celebrations. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, at the table. Those are times of celebration when you do those things. But we need, in everything that we do, whether it's prayer, giving, fasting, whatever discipline that we're doing, we need to have celebration wrapped up in it as well. All right. Now I'm going to give you, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin there this morning, if you're jotting things down, I'm going to give you five things this morning about joy. This is not an exhaustive list. I know that I can, after we close this message out, you can probably tell me some things that I missed. I understand that. These are just, as I was studying and just listening to the Holy Spirit, these are five things that he showed me to point out to all of us. And then at the end of the message, I'm going to give you two things that I believe that we need to get good at of keeping our joy, maintaining it. A lot of times we get that joy, we start off with joy, and then we don't maintain it. It falls off, and we'll learn about that. But here's the first thing. You may have came in here today, and I felt like there was a spirit of heaviness here this morning, and I've had those kind of days. We can have those kind of days corporately like we did as a church, and we just got to get that junk off of us. But here's number one, you have joy. You got it. May not feel like it, may not feel like putting a smile on your face, but you have joy. Joy comes from the inside. Happiness comes from the outside, things happening, but joy comes from the inside. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There's joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So you got it. If you're saved and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he has deposited joy within your spiritual being. You got it. Now here's the key. Since joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you already have it. It's residing within you, but you must develop it. You got to confess it and live by it if you want to enjoy its power. You got to learn how to celebrate things. Whatever circumstances you're facing today, you can be full of joy. You can be strong in the Lord. You can draw on the supply of the Holy Spirit within you and come out on top every time. Joy, you having joy, is a key to victory. That's a key to victory and walking in. I love what Gloria wrote down, something that Gloria Copeland said. She said, the fruit of the Spirit are spiritual forces that work much like antioxidants, renewing our youth, protecting us, and defending us from the attacks of the devil. It's really good stuff there. All right, here's number two. So number one, you have joy. You've got it. You need to develop it. You need to work it. And you need to, and joy is a choice. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. Here's number two, joy is a choice. That's the second thing. You got it, but joy is a choice. You're going to have to choose joy. I love what the Apostle Paul said, and he said this from prison. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. So happiness comes from the outside, and it's based on happenings, but joy comes from the inside. All right, here's number three. Number three, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Most of you know this scripture. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a lot of sorrow going on right now. And I've had to do several funerals during this time period. And guys, reminding people that the joy of the Lord is our strength. This life is not all that there is. And everybody said, and we've got to remember that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Here's one I want to really focus on this morning was number four. And I believe that this is the reason why a lot of people's joy gets zapped out of them, is joy is contentment. And being content is a learned behavior. And if you're always wanting, then you're not content. We'll say that again. If you're always wanting, then you're not content. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer it. I just want you to think about this, all right? What will make you happy? What will make you happy? I'm going to flip the script on you here for just a second. If you have an answer to that question, you will never be content. A lot of us have, and it's something that our culture has produced, is what I call cotton candy contentment. How many of you ever ate a cotton candy? Put it in your mouth, it's gone. You know, and then you're wanting some more. Cotton candy contentment. It's like this. The new car. Remember the new car? Oh, my gosh. Get the new vehicle. Smells good. Everything's just perfect in it. And then as you go along, it gets more miles on it. You get your first door ding at Walmart. And then you're just like, okay, it doesn't matter no more, right? So cotton candy contentment. The new spouse. Oh, if I had a new spouse. No, you need to marvel at the one that you've got. And everybody said, amen. Jade is like, you better. Here's another one, the new church. You know, you start off at church and you're like, well, you know, that pastor, he's anointed. The praise team, man, they're on point. They can hit every note and everything. You can feel the Lord, and then as time goes on, you realize, you know what, the pastor, he isn't so anointed, and they do miss some keys up here and all that. And guys, that's cotton candy contentment. That's not. And then that's why people are, you know, jumping around and everything, church to church, spouse to spouse. Got to get in something new. Always wanting, always wanting, always wanting. Never content, never content, never happy. Never happy because they're always thinking something else is going to make me happy. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a little bit, about something that we all need to keep our joy. But I love what, here's something that Pastor Stephen Furtick said. He said, one of the enemy's most effective strategies is to get you to focus on what you don't have, what you used to have, or what someone else has that you wish you had. He does this to keep you from looking around and asking God, what can you do through what I have? That's very good. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. I want you to know something about contentment is a learned behavior. It's not something you're born with. Learn to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, being content. Real contentment does not come from more money, the promotion at work, material things, the perfect spouse, or the right circumstances. All of these things are cotton candy contentment. Real contentment comes from a rich relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where real contentment comes from. All right, here's number five. Number five is joy is seeing the unseen. And if you can see the invisible, then you can do the impossible. You are, and everybody needs to get this, you are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. Every one of us in here are eternal. We're eternal beings. Just keep thinking about that. Joy is seeing the unseen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I love what John told Thomas in John, or Jesus told Thomas in John chapter 20. He said, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. That's all of us in here this morning. Blessed are us who have not seen and yet have believed. Y'all following with me? All right, Isaiah 9, verse 6. I'm going to kind of bring something out that I saw in Scripture this past week. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That just jumped off the page at me. I've read this scripture thousands of times, I think, you know, before Christmas. This is one of the prophecies of Jesus. But that just jumped off the page at me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want to tell you something. Before Jesus, let me see if I can say this right. Before Jesus existed, he already existed. All right, now here, I'm going to say this a little bit further. Before you existed, you existed. We're all eternal beings. Now we're getting, everybody's looking at me like, you know, yeah, we're all in the matrix right now, okay? Revelation 13, verse 8. Revelation 13, verse 8 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I was thinking, he was already slain from the foundation of the world. Before he existed, he existed. And I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Because I had a little boy that was born. Most of you know our story back in 1998. And he was born in 97, passed away in 98. And God gave me a scripture for him before he was even born, and it was this scripture right here, Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, ordained you a prophet to the nations. And, you know, as I've... That was a scripture that he gave me for Jaden before he was ever born. And then after he was born, and then 18 months later, he passed away. I had a time of wrestling with God over that, and I was like, God, and I'll be honest with you, I was having a pity party and just down in the dumps, and I even feel bad for even saying this, but I had this thought. I was like, God, why was he even born, you know? Because now I've got this gut-wrenching pain to deal with. And God took me back to this scripture that he gave me for Jaden, and he said, Mark, before I formed him in the womb, I knew him. He existed before he existed. He was with me. Now he's with me again, and you're going to get to see him again. And, guys, I don't know about you, but that the joy, and so as a pastor, what I do when we do funerals is trying to help people see the unseen, the joy of seeing the unseen. Because, guys, one of these days, it's all going to be made right, and it's going to be an awesome day. We're going to be with all of our family, friends, and it's going to be right. We're living in a fallen world right now, and we all know, I mean, we're seeing it all. We're bombarded with it more than we ever have in our lifetimes. For us living today, we're seeing the injustices, and that this ain't right. This ain't one of these days it's going to be right. But to walk in this earth right now, Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to be able to have that joy. We've got to be able to see the unseen. Amen? All right. Now, I want to give you two things that I learned from a pastor that I was listening to this week on how to keep your joy. And I know there's probably other things as well, but these really stood out to me. And it's this one. Number one, how to keep your joy. Number one, learn to say even if. Look at somebody say even if. Okay. We live in a fallen world. Even if. Not what if. What if, when you're walking around with that life of living the what ifs, what that does is create anxiety within you. And we don't want anxiety. But what we do want is we do live in a fallen world. So even if something happens, God's still on the throne. God's going to get me through. I'm not going to lose my joy. Even if it doesn't work out, even if I don't get the promotion, even if I don't get the pay raise, even if I don't get this or get that or whatever it is you're believing for, even if I don't get it or it doesn't happen the way I think it should happen, you know, we all have this plan that God needs to go the way we're telling him to, right? But we need to learn how to say, God, even if I know what I feel like you're telling me to do, but even if it don't work out, it's going to still work out. You got a way to work it out. And I love this story in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. There it is. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I promise you, we're living in a day and age right now. For us to keep our joy as Christians, we're going to have to say, even if, and stand up for what's right. Here's number two, is maintain your innocence. That's how you keep your joy, is that childlike faith. That childlike faith. Maintain your innocence. I'll just give you a real stupid example of this. Maintain your innocence is I didn't know I wanted a new pickup until I went and started looking at new pickups. I wish I'd have just maintained my innocence, right? And I've got a 2001. Lloyd knows my pickup because he told me one time I pulled up at his house and he said, well, your pickup sounds like it's paid for. I said, yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir, it is. But I was like, that's that innocence. It's paid for. Praise God, it's paid for. Man, and I pray it keeps going another 100,000 miles, right? But that maintaining your innocence was, I didn't know I wanted a new one until I went and looked at a new one. And sometimes we just, and I take that over in the spiritual. What you've got to do to keep your joy is to maintain your innocence. maintain your innocence. And there's a scripture that goes with this, and it's out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. It says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Keep your innocence. Don't get caught up in this corrupt world. Amen? What ends up corrupting innocence is corruption. It's sin, basically. And so maintain your innocence. Everybody learn something today? Okay, I hope that helps you keep joy, know what joy is, and keep it. And I'll give you some more instructions. We're going to put some instructions on our website on how we're going to do this fast. I'll be talking about it next Sunday, how we'll kick off the new year. But before we go today, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure that everyone here today, and also those that are watching online, I want to make sure that you all know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And how you do that, the Bible tells us that for those that will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And sometimes you need help doing that. And so I want to help you call upon the name of the Lord. And this is just a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me." And everybody said, "Amen." And if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God. And your very next step of obedience, actually your next step of celebration, is to follow the Lord in water baptism. And we have a holy hot tub up here, okay, is what we call it. We can put warm water in there. But, let Pastor Mark do it, not Clark. Okay, Jada, come up here. Bobby was our last one that we got up there and got baptized. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here. I want you to look at somebody and say, "Merry Christmas." "Merry Christmas." "Merry Christmas." Love you guys. Jada and I love y'all. And we want to speak this blessing over you today and over your families, okay? Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Tell somebody, "Merry Christmas." Love you guys. Merry Christmas.